Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, for they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Amen. Every plant, that would be you and I, "every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Amen. I want to talk about being planted by God. Planted by God. Lord, we thank you for the word tonight. Ask you to anoint it to our ears, to our hearts. We give you praise and thanks, Lord, for all of your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight, and let's make the most of this opportunity to sit in heavenly places tonight. The word planted here means to set out in the earth or to instill doctrine. That's the original definition of that word. And so it literally means planted, whether it is a physical plant that we put down into the earth or whether it is a spiritual planting of truth inside of our hearts. And when we look at this, he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted." And so there is a promise in this tonight that if God plants us, we can't be rooted up. And if we don't have God in our lives to plant us, then we will be rooted up. And so we know there's really only one way, praise God, and that's to be planted by the Lord. When we look at the definition of this word, planted, we can see that it's an action word that sets something in motion. Amen. You can have a little sapling or a seed, and it's just going to sit there, and possibly even if the humidity is too high, it will rot and get mold on it, and nothing will happen. But when you plant it, you set something in motion. And that's what we need in our walk with God, is for something to be set in motion. Amen. And when we were born again, when we were baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, there was something here that was and was planned by God to set in motion in our lives. Amen. This is not dead, dry, dull, and boring. Amen. But it's a moving thing. We move and we breathe in Him tonight. And if we don't, then we're going to be rooted up. When a tree is planted in the ground, it's set in motion for its future. And when you think about this, if it is planted in wayside ground, which is hard ground, then that is the future difficulties of that tree. Likewise, if it's planted in stony ground, it's going to have the same limitations or different limitations, and it will affect the future growth of that tree. The good ground or the thorny ground, same thing. The good ground, same thing. And so whenever we are planted, or if I could say it this way, that what we plant in our lives, if it is outside of God and outside of anything that is in the will of God, it's not going to last for eternity. We can build a house, we can buy a car, we can do all the things in this world that we need to do, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it was of God. It was of the works of our hands. It was something that we did. Now, we did do the will of God in building the church and all of that, but because it was built by our hands, because we put it together with our hands and our skill, this church is not going to go to heaven with us talking about the building tonight. It's not going to go to heaven with us. It is going to burn up with everything that's in this world. Same with all of our money, possessions, everything that we have. If it is not planted by God, the day will come when it will be rooted up. Amen. Those that are planted in God, we're going to keep our roots deep for eternity. Praise God. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. Matthew 13 and verse 3. Turn with me tonight. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And I use this scripture quite often, I think. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell in stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground. That's what we're really wanting in our life, is to be good ground. Brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then I think he said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so when we look at this, and I think we all know this, but just in case there's someone tonight that doesn't, the ground represents people. Amen. And the word is the seed, or the seed is a representation of the word of God. And the ground, of course, is people. And the sower is people that who will work for the Lord and sow the word of God and cast out the word of God. And ultimately, they are motivated by God himself. And so in reality, the seed is given to us by the Lord. It comes from God. And so there's a lot of variables here in this parable. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, just so that you know I'm on the right track here tonight, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And so there is the seed, we know that it is the word of God. His enemy came. Everybody said the enemy came. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? Almost an accusation that when the weeds appeared and things didn't look like it was going to be a perfect harvest, which it will never be a perfect harvest, they came and said, there's something wrong with your seed. I thought that you sowed good seed here, and where did all of these weeds come from? Where did the tares come from? There's my scripture right there. From thence hath it tares. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay or no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. And so here we have a parable here, we can see the definition of it or the interpretation of it in verse 37. But just just to touch on this here tonight, anything that is not sown by the good word of God is going to produce tares. The enemy will produce tares and will plant tares in the midst of the wheat. And the word tare there is actually a false seed. It is, in other words, it is a replica. It is something that looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And the devil is really good at doing that. Matthew 13 and verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So ultimately, again, here we see that the sower ultimately is involved directly in the work of God and in the sowing of the Word of God. The field is the world. Everybody said the world. The world and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And so the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Amen. Pretty powerful stuff when you really look at it. It's very simple and easy to understand. But the day is going to come when there will be a rapture and the angels will come and assist the Lord in taking his people out of this world. I'm looking forward to that day. Praise God. Amen. And he said, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. That's the tares right there. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Do we have ears to hear tonight? Amen. And so this tare, as I've already said, is a replica. And there are replicas of many things in our world. There are replicas of paintings. If you painted a Rembrandt, if you did a rendition of a Rembrandt, don't go out and try to sell it for the price of a Rembrandt, because you won't get the same amount. Amen. You probably get $5 or $6 or $10 or $20 for it maybe, when the Rembrandt is probably worth millions and millions of dollars because it is an original. And so you can plant seeds. I suppose you could plant seeds, and I did that one time, got some seeds out of a spaghetti squash, and let them dry and went out in the backyard and planted them. And the seed looked just like the seed that you would use for a squash or for a spaghetti squash. It was flat. It was kind of big around like those things are. And I planted them in the background, and, man, they started growing. And the vines sprung out, and it was really looking good. And all of a sudden, there was a cucumber, not a cucumber. It was something totally, completely different. There was a squash and a cantaloupe. That's what it was, a cantaloupe and a squash. And so somebody had introduced something different than was what was in the original. And I thought that I was going to get a certain thing. But when it was all said and done, I didn't get what I was expecting because I didn't plant an original seed. Amen. And the very same thing is true in the realm of the Spirit. We have the original seed of the Word of God right here. Well, praise the Lord. And we ought to thank God that he has given us the real Word of God. Amen. Not a fake and a phony, not something that looks like the real thing, but is not the real thing. And can I say here tonight that everything that calls on the name of Jesus is not of God? Amen. It does not necessarily mean that it is of God, because Scripture said that they will worship another Jesus and they will have another spirit. Amen. And you can go into many, many different areas of that. They will tell you this, that, and the other, that there are two gods, there are three gods, there are a million gods, and it sounds so enticing. Well, we're all worshiping the same God, and we're all going to the same place. Well, maybe they all worship the same God, but there is a sower called the devil. Amen. There is a sower called the Son of Man, and there is a sower called the devil. And they both sow seeds, but the results are totally, completely different. Amen. And when we look at it in Scripture, Paul said in Galatians, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but in the book of Galatians, he said, if we or an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so there is an original seed. That's why we call ourselves apostolic. Amen. There are other churches that have apostolic on their board, but they don't believe what the apostles preached. Amen. We are doing our best to line up with what the apostles preached. Amen. But even then, in the midst of the harvest of wheat, there are going to be tares. Amen. We will battle false doctrine. You'll battle it on the job. You'll battle it at school. You'll battle it. There are false ways, ways that are just fleshly and sensual, and the ways of this world, the teaching of the world, the humanism, the evolutionary theories that exist. And unfortunately, there are even those that claim to be Christian that say that God used evolution to create everything. That's as far away as evolution is. Amen. God did not use evolution. If he did, it would not be miraculous. But God said, let there be, and brother, there it was. God spoke out into nothing, and something came into existence. Praise God. If you ever get a chance, get the song that Brother Merle Ewing sings. His wife wrote it. He has since went on to the Lord. And it's kind of like this. He said, on a balcony of space stepped a pure and holy God. And he looked out in the darkness, and somehow he was able to see. And when he looked out there, he saw babbling brooks. He saw wildflowers. He even heard a robin sing. I wished I could have wrote down the words for this tonight. But he goes on, and he said, and in the midst of all of that, he saw me. Praise God. You're not just a collection of molecules here tonight, but you were created in the image of God. Amen. And evolution teaches that there is no God, that God is wrapped up in nature. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth is filled with the glory of God, but it's not God. Amen. It's just a glory of God, a small representation of the glory of God. We serve an awesome God tonight. Amen. And so we've got to be planted. We've got to let the seed come into good ground. The original planting, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 4, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, and Brother Charlie, when you get there, would you read that for me? 3, 4, and 5, I think, is what we're looking for tonight. Book of Romans, chapter 6.
Know ye not that so many of us are baptized into Jesus
All right. And so there it is. And verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise God. And so we were planted in baptism. That's when the seed was planted. And when the seed is planted, Jesus said, if a corn of wheat does not fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. And so we have to be planted with his death. And that's where a lot of folks just stop right there and get off the train. Amen. Because we've got to die out to ourselves. And we have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And we have to go through trials and tribulations. We can't pull our roots out and say, I'm going over to the next field where there are no tares. Because when you get over there, there's going to be tares as well. Amen. And so we have to stay where we are and grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we are planted together with him. And so in order to have good results, and that's really what we all want, we've got to follow the one who gave us the plan, and that was Jesus Christ, God himself. Amen. And it makes a difference how you're baptized. I know these young people have heard all of this before, but we're going to just keep putting it into your mind and your heart. It does make a difference how you're baptized, and it does make a difference what church you go to. Well, it does, because there are seeds that are sown, and those seeds are going to produce a result, and they are going to begin something in motion. Amen. And it does make a difference. If you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that is a seed. That is a seed, but it is not a seed of God. It is the seed of the wicked one. And Jesus was very plain. He said, it is of the devil. Amen. And I could go into a long discourse tonight of history of the doctrine of the Trinity. But in 325 A.D., when they developed the doctrine of the Trinity, or they accepted the doctrine of the Trinity, the people that were there that were negotiating this new truth, if you want to say it that way, that were mechronancers, perverted people. Mechronancer is someone that conjures up the dead. It's really witchcraft and all of that. They were not wholly devout, just men, but they were perverted men in a spiritual and even some in a fleshly way. I'm telling you what, tonight, I don't understand how people can feel that you have to believe in that to be saved. Oh, yes, you're not going to be saved, though, if you believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. Well, that's kind of plain, I know, and I'm not out to offend anyone tonight, but it does make a difference what you plant. It makes a big difference what you plant, because when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, it is for the remission of sins, and anything else eventually is going to be rooted up and cast away. Somebody said amen. Amen. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God. And we had some big planters out in front of the church, and they've been stolen. We put them behind the shed, and they were stolen. But I went out there one day, and there was a little tree about that tall, and I just pulled it up. I rooted it up, and I've got a picture of it over here in front of my office. A squirrel obviously had that in his mouth. He dug it up and put that down in there for the winter time. And if I didn't stop it, we'd have a tree that would fill the front porch right about now. And it wouldn't look too decorative, so I pulled it out. And when you plant something, it was just a seed. It was a maple seed or a walnut. I don't know exactly. It's a round seed, real hard shell. And by the rivers of water, something has been planted in your life. Doesn't matter how long you've been here in the kingdom of God, you're here because something was planted in your heart. Amen? I hope you're not here just because you like the pastor. Hope you're not here just because you like other people or whatever the reason is. But I hope that you're here today because of the truth that is preached. Amen. And so he says he shall be like a tree, and it takes time. It takes time. A peach tree takes about 7 years for the first harvest to get on the leaves. And Jesus talked about harvest. He talked about fruit, and it is the will of God that we produce fruit in our life, but it makes a difference what seed you have planted in your life. And so so the scripture that we read tonight in starting, and I'm not going to preach a long time here tonight, Matthew chapter 15, and I want to go up to verse 3 before we get down to the text scripture of verse 12. But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" He's talking to the religious leaders, and they had sowed the seeds of tradition because daddy went to that church, I'm going to go to that church. Because we've always done it this way is the way we're going to continue to do it. And he said, you've gotten to the place where you actually transgress the law of God. And you say it's all right for a child to curse his mother or father and just by saying it's a gift and you can get away with it. But he said, you've transgressed the laws of God. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions, ye hypocrites. That was a pretty stinging thing that he said. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Amen. And so he got them right where they needed to be. Amen. And told them where it was really at here. And he said, you worship me in vain. Folks, we don't want to worship God in vain. And they had sowed tradition in their lives. And some traditions are good. Paul talked about traditions in a good way. Amen. We have a tradition of being faithful to the house of God. That's a good tradition. We have a tradition of being faithful to read the Word of God. That's a tradition, a good one. Amen. But other things may not be that way. And these Pharisees had come to the place where they were the enemy. They were sowing seeds among the wheat. They were the enemy. They were actually of the devil. Because all they were concerned about was what came out of their mouth, but not from their heart. Amen. And the Lord said, you worship me and you give me honor with your lips, but your heart is far from me. We can't afford to do that if we're going to be the good seed. Amen. Amen. And so they were sowing things that eventually was going to be fodder for the furnace. Amen. We want to be planted by God. And so the disciples came to him in the next verse and said, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Well, praise God. Leave them alone. Don't worry about it. They said, what shall we do with these tares? Shall we pick them up and throw them away? He said, leave them alone and let them grow together. Amen. Until the time of harvest. And the angels will be able to reap the good seed, and we won't have to worry how that's all going to happen. And he's going to gather up the tares. There's going to be a gathering. There's going to be two gatherings, one gathering in the air and one gathering in the judgment day. Amen. I want to be gathered up in the air on the day of rapture. Let's stand together tonight. And so he says there, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Amen. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And the last scripture I'd like to read tonight is in Acts 4 and verse 12. And it says this, here is the good seed, if you please. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. For anyone in the future that might listen to this message, were you planted in the name of Jesus Christ in baptism? And for anyone here tonight that has not been planted, you've got to understand that you're sowing seeds in your life. You're sowing seeds. Something is being planted in your life. And if it's God, it will eventually produce the fruits of righteousness. Amen. But if you are planted in anything else, it will not work. You might be smart. You might have many, many goals in your life. And you may achieve every one of them. But if we gain the whole world and we lose our soul, what have we gained? We haven't gained anything. Amen. I just urge you tonight, be planted. Be planted. Get your roots down deep in God. Amen. Don't put your roots into the things of this world. We've been teaching on holiness on Tuesday nights. Last night was a real good Bible study. Had a real good time. And it shows the difference in what we put our roots into. Amen. If we put our roots in Jesus Christ and we follow him and let him bring the rain, let him bring the seasons, and let him produce the fruit, praise the Lord, it will just happen naturally. Naturally, it'll come on the branches, and everybody will say, what a beautiful tree and what good fruit is coming off of that tree. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight.